Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
And today, we need a drum roll, I think, Brittany. We are joined by
Busy. I was really about to do one.
Busy Phillips. What's up? Welcome.
Hi. Thanks, ladies. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure
to have you. Happy Mother's Day, first of all.
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah. This Mother's Day for me felt a lot about my own mom and not as much about me as a mom, because we surprised my parents after a year and a half of not seeing them in person in Arizona. And my mom like lost her shit. It was the cutest thing
ever. Literally, that's what I was going to say. We saw your Instagram.
we cried. We were watching. We were crying.
We were like, oh,
really nice.
That was really sweet. It's,
crazy. Well, yeah, I mean, so look, I think like a lot of people and a lot of people have that another experience, but I don't live close to my family, my nuclear family, my core or family of origin. That's what my therapist says, my family of origin. But my sister and her family do live close to my parents, and my husband Mark, we haven't lived close to his parents, but his brother and sister-in-law and their kids live close by. So during this pandemic and the shutdown, obviously we took it very seriously. Travel was restricted. Our parents are older and, you know, high risk. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't see them. We couldn't make journeys to go see them, and it was really hard. And it's hard for my kids too, because I have a 13-year-old and almost 13 and almost 8. I say Birdie's 13 because Birdie just feels like 40 already. So
as an old soul,
12 and 7-year-old, and you know, and it's just been a long year.
Yeah.
Do you guys live close to your parents? Are your parents still alive?
Yes. Right now.
Yeah. I live close to my whole family. I'm in Long Island. My whole family is here. And I feel very grateful for that. I do.
So you've been able to see them?
Yes, I have been seeing them. We didn't for a long time. I would say for like in the very beginning, I wasn't seeing anyone. And then over the summer, we're like, okay, we'll do like outdoor things.
With gloves.
Yeah. And then, you know, as the fall came around, we're like, all right, if we promise we're only seeing each other, let's do it.
You did like a pod.
Yes.
Yeah. But you surprised them because that like she didn't know your mom.
No. So we moved to New York. We were in L.A. for forever.
Yeah.
And we moved to New York in September, and I am doing this TV show here and working. And yeah, we got vaccinated and made plans to go down to DC to see Mark's parents and his brother and everything a few weeks ago. And as we were making those plans, I was like, wait, we can see my parents. My parents are fully vaccinated. My sister and her husband are fully vaccinated. And I was like, wait, we could do this.
Right.
And Mark was like, yeah, well, when do you want to? And I was like, well, I have all this press for the show. So that's a little tricky because I have to like be most, even though a lot of it's virtual, it's like, you know, it's just hard to travel with all your stuff, whatever. Anyway. So the show comes out Thursday, and then it's Mother's Day weekend. Mother's Day weekend. Let's do it. And so we fully just did it. I got my sister in on the surprise because I needed some logistical help. Because my parents are kind of wild, and like, I never know if just randomly they're going to be like, well, your father and I decided to like drive to, you know, somewhere and just like rent an Airbnb. I'm like, what? No, I'm here.
They decided to drive to you.
Yeah, seriously. I swear to God. But my sister, it was actually good because my dad had scheduled his like yearly colonoscopy. And so my sister had to like lie to him to get him to move it so that he wouldn't have like to like be fasting. Well, she said that she has two kids, her older daughter, Josie, and her son, Bob, who's in the video. He's like kind of the star of the video, honestly. He's like, Auntie Bessie!
Yeah, it was really cute in the beginning.
He's so cute. Yeah. He's the cutest kid. I mean, truly, my sister gave birth to a cartoon character. It's like he is the sweetest, aww, cutest kid. But anyway, because of that, like no one can say no to little Bob. Like he's just, you know, you just can't say no to that kid.
Yeah.
And he's really sweet. He's not bratty at all. So you never want to say no to him. So Leanne called and was like, wait, Dad, your colonoscopy is on Monday after Mother's Day. Ah, really didn't want to ruin the surprise. But little Bob and Josie, we're going to cook a special thing for you guys for Mother's Day. So you can't be fasting the day before and prep. Can you move the colonoscopy in? So my dad was like a little grumbly about it, but did it, you know? Right.
That's nice. He moved it. That's like, yeah, so sweet.
I know. I think
a lot of people would be like, sorry, I'm going.
Well, I think thankfully, this is why I said to Leanne, I was like, just make sure you say it's Bob. It was little Bob's idea because no one can be mad at little Bob.
Little Bob. I love that his name is little Bob.
Well, it was baby Bob, but now he's like taken umbrage with baby because he's like, I'm not a baby anymore, guys. I'm five.
Until he becomes adult Bob.
Well, adult Bob is his father. So he could be Bob Jr. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. He's sweet. But so my mom, I had talked to my mom a lot last week about, you know, because the show was coming out, because Girls 5 Eva was coming out. My mom was really excited and there was a lot of press and things she could watch me on, including this incredible live stream at the Hollywood Bowl that Sarah Bareilles did, that she invited us, the girls from the show, on to sing with her at the Hollywood Bowl. So my mom was watching that. My mom was literally texting me while we were on the airplane going to Arizona saying, like, this is making me miss you. Like, watching you is making me miss you so much. I really hope we can figure out a way and a time that we can see each other. And I was like, I know, Mom, me too. I'm going to work on it after I'm done with all this press next week.
Were you like evil laughing in the back?
I mean, I just was like, I was concerned that she was going to like really lose it and like,
yeah,
it would be too much, you know, but it was perfect. It actually ended up perfect because Leanne, my sister, was like, I think we should do it in a restaurant so she doesn't like lose it. Like, you know, she will have to have some level of decorum because they're in public. And I think Leanne was right. Leanne, though, wrongly was like, I think we could tell her kids.
Oh, no.
She's like, I think we could tell the kids. And I was like, absolutely not.
No.
Like, Bob will for sure spill it.
Yeah, no.
And the other thing that's nice is that a little bit, like I'm trying to consistently find silver linings from this past year and a half, is that my sister's daughter, Josie, and my little one, Cricket, formed a really, really tight bond over quarantine and the pandemic online.
That's
like
really
FaceTiming nice. Each other and playing Roblox together and Animal Crossing.
Are they the same similar ages?
Yes, Josie's 9 and right. Cricket's 7.
Okay, so
like as my, yeah, it's so cute.
That's really cute.
And so I've always sort of been a little bit like, how are these kids going to have a relationship? We don't live very close. We only see each other on holidays, and they are like bread and butter. It's the cutest thing.
I guess that's what makes like all this like connection through social media nice.
Yeah.
And it helped us a lot this past year and a half for sure.
Oh my God.
So you mentioned your two kids. So we know they're almost 13 and 8. 12 and 7, 13 and 8.
I mean, am I still like, I'm like one of those moms who's like, she's 437 months old. I don't know. But I do feel like, how old are your kids? How old are your guys' kids?
I have, my son will be 3 in July and I'm pregnant with my second due in a month.
Oh my God, congratulations.
Thank you.
When are you due?
I'm due June 21st.
My birthday is June 25th.
Oh my God, maybe I'll have a late baby on your birthday.
Well, you want to get it into the Cancer and out of the Gemini. So you just want to hold on for 2 more days.
Don't even get me started. So I think I'm getting induced on the 14th. And I'm like, oh my God, the baby's going to be a Gemini.
Well, let's just see. We don't know what the rising is. We don't know. I know. It could still work out.
I know.
Is it a girl or a boy?
A boy. My second boy.
Two boys. I actually think Gemini boys are a thing. I think that's better.
Oh, really?
Than a Gemini.
Okay, I'll have to read up on it.
All the Gemini women listening are like, fuck you.
One of my best friends is a Gemini. She's going to be like, you bitch.
Listen, I feel like I have a lot of Gemini in me, but I'm really Leo rising. I'm very into that.
I'm a Leo. I'm
very into the astrology.
Well,
you are.
I'm pregnant with a potential Leo.
Yes, you are.
Potential Leo.
Due date.
She is due August 22nd, so it's like right on the verge. But I don't know anything about Leos.
We're amazing.
Anything.
That's a Leo thing for me to say.
It was a Leo thing. Birdie is a Leo. My older kid is a Leo. August 13th. I almost just said the wrong day for Birdie's birthday.
So bad.
I was thinking of Birdie's birth due date, which was the 15th.
Okay.
On the 19th. Original. You're August 19th.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay, guys. We're going through it. We're just getting through it.
So your kids are...
Leos have great hair. Great hair, right?
My mane.
Oh, great. Your mane. Yes. Birdie has like the craziest, most intense, thickest hair.
Nice.
Came out like hair from head to toe, like
really
covered in hair.
So yes. Aileen, be prepared. You're gonna have a baby.
That's why I had so much heartburn.
Wait, me too. That's what I had with Birdie. I had so much heartburn, and everybody was like, "Old wives' tale. You're gonna have the baby's gonna have so much hair." And I was like, "Okay, all right, everybody." And then that kid came out, and when I tell you that Birdie had hair from their eyebrows, like there was no hairline. It was just all hair.
That's amazing.
Hair on Birdie's ears, hair everywhere. I mean, all the forehead hair thankfully fell off.
But
It was like, I was like, oh wow, I gave birth to an animal, like to a little lion.
A little cub.
A little Leo cub. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening for us.
We're in it together right now.
Wait, Aileen, how old is your older?
I don't have an older. This is my first child. I am with child, but it's inside my body. That is my first.
I never want to have that happen again, but I am happy for you.
Thank you. It's been wild.
Do you know what kind of birth you're planning to have?
Like the kind where they give me an epidural and in a hospital setting. You know, it just happens smoothly. That's all I want.
Great. Just keep saying that and envisioning it and it will happen.
It's just
keep telling the baby that that's what you need.
Yes. We have to manifest our fast, quick, easy deliveries.
Wait, Brittany, you're going to get induced. Are you having a... Yes. You're not having a C-section?
No. So I had a 4.5-hour delivery with my first, just because I couldn't push him out. First of all, he came out with his elbow out and he was sunny side up. So he was
sunny side up.
I had back labor too. I had like a flipped, Birdie was flipped.
Yeah,
sunny side up. Yeah.
Yeah, they're face up.
I didn't know that was a term.
Painful.
Sunny side up.
Painful.
It was very painful. And then my epidural wore off and it was just like not okay. So my doctor was like, you don't really want that to happen again. So maybe we just schedule a week early and keep him a little bit smaller. And because
how big was your first?
He wasn't even that big. He was 7'4", but because of like all the other things that were going on, they said he came out probably an over 8-pound baby.
Right.
Jeez.
So
Birdie was 9 pounds, 7 ounces.
What? That's a big baby.
I pushed for 3.5 hours.
Okay. So you understand my pain.
Yeah. I pushed for 3.5 hours.
Same. 4.5 hours.
I had no epidural. Oh, I didn't God. do pain drugs.
Oh my God.
At all with either one. But like with the first one, that was like a very conscious choice. And I was like, thought that I would win some award, which you don't. You don't. No. It turns out
no one gives you an Oscar.
No one gives you a medal. I know. I know. I was hoping for it, but I didn't get it. But I did get a baby and a full episiotomy, and
that's good stuff.
It was a lot.
Shit happens.
But now here we are, almost 13 years later.
So how do you feel like parenting has changed? And now it's been almost 13 years. How has parenting changed for you over the years?
Well, every phase of your kid's life is a new challenge and a new joy, right? So like, you know, I really feel for parents of toddlers, parents of little ones, like parents of, you know, you only know up till your own experience, right? So yeah. I'm in the teen years now, and it's a lot. And the hormones of early teen period vibes, and because I have a girl. I mean, truly, like Birdie got their first period during the first lockdown quarantine.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah, that was a lot to do.
That's a lot.
But you were there.
Just because of.
But were you there?
Well, of course.
So yeah. So from a positive perspective, because of lockdown, you were there to be
right,
with
like
Birdie.
They weren't at school or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. By the way, Birdie like didn't even.
Or you weren't working somewhere else, you know?
Right. That's right. That's right. Birdie like really fully like was like, oh, is that what that is? Oh, okay.
Cool.
It's like so chill about it. Not even like so nonchalant. Like, oh, weird. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. I guess. Like, I guess that's my period. Huh. Interesting. But then.
That's mature.
I will say after, well, everything Birdie does is mature. Birdie is the one who, like, I had to have the sex talk with Birdie in. I have to ask Mark. I think it was early second grade, which is early.
Yeah.
Because they were learning about DNA in science. And in the car, Birdie was like, Mom, I don't get it. I don't get it. And I was like, what don't you get? And Birdie right. was like, well, if I have your DNA and Dad's DNA, but you grew me inside you, how'd Dad's DNA get in me?
That's actually really astute. Like,
yeah,
astute
no
question.
Kidding. The kid is, yeah. Obviously, Birdie's a genius. But also then I was like, okay.
You're missing this piece of the puzzle. We're having this conversation.
Yeah. So I like fully panicked and was like, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Because I do think that there's a great thing to know as a parent is that you can always say like, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that.
Right.
If you don't know how to answer a question in the moment, or if you truly don't know the answer to a question in the moment, you could be like, I don't know. That's an interesting question. I'm going to get back to you on that. And I think that the trick is you have to actually get back to them on it.
Yeah.
So I dropped Birdie off at the bus stop. I called one of my friends who has an older kid and was like, help, what do I do? This is the question. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, first of all, like get this book to give them. But also just like you have to make it very sort of nonchalant and cash. Like just very casual conversation and explain how things are. And, you know, Birdie already knows about their body and appropriate words for body parts, because that's like how we raise our kids right. in our house. And so you just have this conversation where you're just like very matter of fact. And it's like almost like you don't make it a big deal. You don't sit them down or anything. It's just like, so in the car later that day, I picked Birdie up from the bus stop and I was like, hey, dude. Remember when you asked me this morning about the DNA thing? And Birdie was like, yeah. I'm like, well, so this is how babies are made. And just told Birdie. And Birdie was like,
how graphic did you get? Like, what did you say?
What did you say?
Oh, I said, I mean, I literally was like, you know how men have penises? Like, men have penises and women have vaginas. You know how you have a vagina? Yes. And you know how there's like a hole up in your vagina that the pee doesn't come out of? It's the other hole. And Birdie's like, yeah. And then I said, well, when you're a grown up and you decide that you would like to have a baby, there's a thing called sex. have you ever heard that word? And Bernie's like, I think so. And I was like, okay, well, sex is like when the dad, the man, puts their penis inside a woman's vagina. And then he's got like this stuff that comes out of his penis. I know this sounds like science fiction, but it's real. And
the DNA comes out.
The DNA comes out. That's where the DNA. And I said that. I was like, that's where the DNA is. And then it goes into an egg. And Birdie was like, I was born from an egg. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not like a chicken egg, but yeah, like we have eggs inside of us. And I was like, I got this book from the American Girl doll store. It's at home and you can look at it sex later. We can read it together. No, the American Girl doll like has a few of those educational books for younger kids. Like, I think they're called The Care and Keeping of You. Anyway, yeah. I was just like very matter of fact. We got out of the car and Mark was there and Bernie was like, Dad, Mom just told me how I was made. And he was like, uh-huh. And Bernie was like, I mean, that's so weird. And we're like, yeah, it was really so weird. It is really weird to wrap your head around it, but it's like totally normal. And people do it when they're, you know, much, 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 much older.
Well, yeah. I think that's like great parenting advice, just about the like the tabling the combo and then right. circling yeah, back later.
Yeah. Well, because sometimes I think you do get like, I mean, I just know I've been caught off guard with really intense or hard conversations where I'm like, I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to like, I want to make sure that in this moment I meet them
yeah.
in the right way so that I don't cause any
trauma,
damage,
yeah,
trauma, whatever. You know what I mean? So I think it's always, and just in life, like it's like good advice. Like just
yeah,
hold for 1 second and I'm going to get back to you on it.
Right.
Got to do a little research, guys.
I'm going to remember this yeah. forever.
So speaking of like conversations, you recently shared that Birdie came out and uses they, them pronouns. Was that yes. conversation easy, hard? Like, were you taken aback then? Did you circle back? Like, how did that go? How'd you navigate?
Well, Birdie came out at age 10 and I wasn't, no, I mean, I don't know. I didn't need to circle back or anything. I said essentially, Bird, I'm like so glad that you know who you are. That's incredible. And that totally makes sense to me. And like, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
It's just great.
Yeah.
And Birdie, Birdie's pronouns were later. Okay. And that also was like, again, like, okay, yeah, sounds good. I'm into that. I get it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I didn't. There's nothing to discuss.
Right. No, but I didn't get it. Okay. I did not get the pronoun thing at all. And, but I just sort of was like, got it. Yes. Makes sense. And then had to look it up and like, talk to my own therapist and then like figure out what it meant kind of like mm-hmm. And it's interesting because after I had talked about it on the podcast a lot of people like some articles were writing things like that Birdie came out as transgender. I was like, people, it is really hard for people with pronouns to understand what it is or what it like quote unquote means.
Right.
Birdie's pronouns are they, them. And it like just makes total sense to me now. Birdie just doesn't identify with she, her pronouns or he, him pronouns, but they're just their own person. I don't know. Like, and I also just think that, I don't know, in a weird way, I think that we should all kind of just lose every pronoun except for they, them. You know what I mean? Like, I just, now yeah. that I've read a lot and I don't know, I just think that dismantling the binary is kind of an interesting concept. And I'm sort of impressed by younger generations. See, and like, I do know from the books I've read and the people that I've talked to, I'm not supposed to be like, I knew that they were as their mom, but like, you're not really supposed to, like, because whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the point being, Birdie never was the kid that like had crushes on boys, but Birdie had so many boyfriends, and like, I actually remember Birdie's little best friend Killian, who I love so much. Since birth, we were the friends, met in prenatal yoga, and like, it was Birdie's first friend, Killian. And they went to preschool together, and they went to early elementary school together. And I remember one day driving the two of them, probably in like first or second grade, and Killian being like, them just chattering in the backseat, and Killian saying like, oh, and so-and-so likes this girl, and this boy likes this girl, and this girl has a crush on this girl, and everybody thinks that Birdie is my girlfriend. And like, I could tell that Killian was like, right, Birdie, like, you're my girlfriend. And Birdie's like, I know, and it's so funny because we're just best friends. And Killian was like, I know, but you could be my girlfriend, Birdie. And then Birdie's like, yeah, but, you know, we're just friends. It's so weird. It's just like, you're my, like, brother. Like, we're just, like, friends.
I love the voice. It's a great voice.
I was melting in the front seat, for this little kid, Killian, who clearly had a crush on his gay girlfriend. You know, like,
yeah. Poor Killian.
Like, at the time, like, they were 7 years old. Right. So also when Birdie came out to me, like, I had already had a million experiences like that as a little person, that when they came out to me, I was like, okay, great. Like, that's amazing that you understand what who you are. And I love that for you. And that's amazing. And they have like an incredibly, you know, Birdie's really lucky. They have an incredibly open and accepting extended family in like my parents and my sister and her family and my husband's family. So in that respect, like, Birdie's, and I think that they know, I think they understand that fundamentally. I don't think they did at first because Birdie used to say like, oh, the bare minimum that you just accept me. And I was like, okay, all right. And it's not the bare minimum.
So dramatic.
So being that, like, this is like a huge thing to go through and to like have to learn about yourself, what advice would you give to parents in navigating a conversation with your kids about gender identity?
Well, I don't know if you need to navigate anything.
Or
like,
starting a conversation.
Well, I think you have to be open to what your kids want to discuss and what they want to talk about. Yeah. And I think, you know, similar to race and race issues, like, you can't just be like, we don't see color, we don't see gender. It's like, these things do exist. Things exist in the binary in this world that we live in. And so it's your job, especially as white parents, especially as, like, if you're in a heteronormative home, to like have conversations before it gets to the point where your kid is like, I don't know what this, you know, like, this is, what is this? This is me. Like, I think that is partially why my kid was empowered at a young age to know the things that they were feeling were, like, there was no shame about it. And there was nothing wrong with their feelings. Mm-hmm. And this is just, they wanted to let us know this is who they were. Because I do think, like, all of these things, all of these conversations in your home start, like, literally immediately. Because it starts with, like, the books that you pick.
Yeah,
it starts with the media that's consumed and the conversations that they overhear you having with your friends and your families. And when they ask questions like, you know, why is that person, you know, whatever they ask, like, sometimes you can be kind of embarrassed by things that young kids ask in public. I do think having the grounding to say, even in the moment, like, you know what, we are going to have a whole conversation about that when we get home. because I have things that I want to talk to you about the, you know, about this thing. Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I think you just have to, I think you have to, like, be able to keep your cool with kids.
For sure.
So that they feel empowered to come to you. Yes. Like, we, I feel so lucky that we've fostered this environment with this kid where they come to us with, like, everything. And shit has not been easy in the last few years. It really hasn't. It's been at times overwhelmingly difficult, like, even in a home that is obviously accepting and supportive. You know, Birdie has still had struggles, and in the world has been met with challenges from others, from adults, from, you know, other parents and things. And, like, so to be able to have, to know that they tell us so much, not in a way where I'm like, we're best friends. They don't, Bernie does not think we are best friends in no way, shape, or form. Like, I always, like, sort of, I don't know. I love it when people are like, oh my God, my little bestie. But then also I'm like, you don't want your kid to be your best friend, guys. You just don't. Like, need you boundary. Need them to know that you're, but you need them to know that you are a safe place to land.
Right.
You know? And, like, right. that, and that you will always be a safe place for them. And so that's why you want them to share with you, not because you guys are, like, besties and you're the cool mom, like, because you can help them figure things out and you can help make things easier for them when things are feel insurmountably difficult, which they will feel for all kids at some point.
And you can,
know,
and you could still be a cool mom and still
well, obviously
be that
fucking
safe,
cool,
like, mother, like, figure. You know, without being BFFs, and then, like, you're on an even playing field. But, like, speaking of, like, you were saying, like, the conversations they hear and everything going around them, what about, like, social media? I know, like, this whole Facebook, like, Instagram for kids is happening. Like, how do you go about that?
Like, well, I think it's super interesting because I think there are certain truths that are inescapable about social media, which we know, right? But I also think it affects kids and younger generations differently than it even affects us. You guys are younger than I am, but I think that part of what is so necessary about empowering kids in social media is that, like, it doesn't really seem to be going anywhere. It will shapeshift and change and become lots of different things. But I think that at its core, by the way, I don't think any kid is going to want the Facebook, Instagram for kids that they're starting, just FYI. like, I think that's, yeah. I think that, like, bless you, Mark Zuckerberg, for trying to, like, you know, steal the kids' information too. But
they're already on YouTube. It's fine.
Well, it's like it's Snap and it's also just gaming. It's games. Mm-hmm. It's Twitch. And, like, I mean, really, Twitch stream is, like, you know, where all the teens are headed.
Yeah.
But I think that here's been my, like, my take has always been with my kids and social media. Like, I think that putting too many limitations on a thing is dangerous because it makes the thing more appealing. I think that having honest conversations about the downsides of what a thing is, I'm just saying what thing, because I don't know what it's going to be, even Brittany, when your kid is able to log on. Like, we don't even know what the fuck it is yet. You know what I mean?
Right. Everything's going to be different. It's not. Think about
the That's right.
13 years ago.
Totally. Like, there's new things every year, every 6 months.
Right.
So, like, we can't even know what it's going to be. So I think having conversations about safety, like continuing to have conversations about what's appropriate, having conversations about, like, FOMO and what that is and if it's real and if some people just always feel it no matter what, and if looking at your device too much gives it to you more, maybe we take breaks from it. But I don't think that, I mean, in my experience, just as being a parent, from being a parent and seeing my friends who have older kids parent, putting, like, really strict limitations on social media has only made kids lie and go deeper into it. Right. And like in ways that are very unhealthy. So I've had a couple of friends whose kids have had that experience where they had, you know, oh, well, my kid is locked down and they don't have their own device and and I'm like, that's fucking wonderful for you. Guess what?
They have a burner like, phone.
Yes, truly. Like, it's, guys, this is like, it's the new drug. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so if like you're not treating it as such, like you are, first of all, your kid is lying. I'm just going to say, like, even though Birdie tells us everything, I'm not above thinking that like my kid isn't withholding some information. Obviously, all kids withhold information from their parents. They have to, because they're trying to like exercise their own autonomy, right? So you have to be smart about it, and you have to like move through your parenting with the knowledge and like really be vigilant in making sure that you're like looking out for certain signs and things that could be problematic, and being involved in the school in terms of like, you know, the administration and the teachers, and like making sure you know what the deal is with the other kids. Like, even if you're not getting that information from your kid, because you might not be, you like have to get in there, especially in this, like, I would say like this preteen to like early teen years, until they really start to kind of like solidify and figure out who they are and how they're going to move through the world.
Right.
Sorry, I just really went on a TED talk.
It was a hardcore TED talk. No, but I agree. You want to switch gears? Tell us all about Girls Five Eva.
Oh my God.
And tell us about your podcast.
Sure. I don't really talk about parenting on my podcast, guys, but sometimes we do. I have a podcast called Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best with my friend Casey St. Ange, who was my showrunner on Busy Tonight, which was my late night talk show, RIP. And we had sold a podcast about something totally different. And then the pandemic happened and the shutdown happened and everything like fell apart,
went upside down,
including like the thing that our entire podcast was about, which was us building this new company and this whole thing. And like, it just, the, we were supposed to have this meeting for our big funding, like March 15th, 2020 in New York.
Okay. Like, that's when it all happened.
Yeah. And it was just like done. It was like literally overnight done. And we were pretty bummed. And then I started thinking about like pivots, and when the things that don't work out in your life don't work out, and how bummed you are, but then you're like, oh wait, but now that window is open. And we didn't know what the window was yet, but we started doing the podcast just about that, talking to some really amazing people about times in their lives when they've been asked or forced to pivot from what they thought they'd be doing or what they'd planned on doing to, you know, what's brought them to the place where they are now. So that has been a lot of fun. We've been doing it since August, I think, of last year, 2020. And then I guess sort of my own pivot was that I ended up doing this TV show, Girls Five Eva. Tina Fey called me kind of out of the blue in September and said, I know this sounds crazy, but we're doing a TV show. And I was like, yeah, it's the middle of a pandemic.
Why not?
She was like, yeah, no, I know. But it's about a 90s girl group that gets sampled by a current day rapper and decides to try to make a comeback in their 40s. And I think I like lost consciousness for a second. And then when I came to, I was like, are you asking me to be in it? Are you asking me to be in it?
Or do you want me? What? Do you What's want my, my notes?
What's happening? Am I a consultant? What is it? Tina, what are you asking me right now? But she was asking me to be in it. And Sarah Bareilles, who's incredible. Renee Elise Goldsberry, who of course is from Hamilton and a million other things, is in it. Paula Pell, one of my comedy icons, head writer on SNL for many years and now is having like a whole second act as a performer herself. is rounds out our girl group. Ashley Park plays one of the girls in the flashbacks. Where there's flashbacks to the 90s. And Erica Henningsen, who was in Mean Girls. Ashley Park and Erica Henningsen were both on, in Mean Girls on Broadway. They're insanely talented. And Ashley's on that show, Emily and Perry.
Yes.
Emily and Paris.
Emily.
Emily and Perry.
That sounds so
and
fun.
It's so fun.
That sounds so good. And it's streaming now on Peacock, right?
Yeah, you can watch all episodes. You guys, you're going to, like, when you start to get closer to your due dates, I think you just want to spend one day in bed in air conditioning and just watch the whole show. You'll be so happy you did that.
I'm going to put my PTO in now to binge watch.
I'm trying to, like, load shows, like, in my, like, because I know I'm going to be, like, just binging television.
Yeah.
So you got
to. Also, yeah, like, in those early weeks right after you have a baby, it's such a fun time to just sit and watch shows because they don't do anything.
Yeah.
They just sleep and.
Also, especially if you're, like, nursing, you can't actually move. So you have
to. You can't.
Like, keep something going on the TV.
Just move the remote. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited to see this. I'm excited
I love it.
Hear your podcast. So it's called Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best. Everyone go listen to it. Thank you so much, Busy, for joining us.
Thank you.
Sharing everything, sharing about Birdie, sharing about your family, everything. We really appreciate it. And You are doing your best. You are the best.
I'm trying. Listen. And the other thing is, like, I know it gets tricky because I'm in a public space and a public sphere. And, you know, I know some people are like, why your kid is a minor? Like, why are you sharing? But these are, like, all conversations that Birdie and I have had. And I have to tell you, like, I shared with everyone about Birdie, like, per Bird's request, like, per their asking, like, saying that, I mean, and they're not wrong, like, visibility matters, you know, and right, like, I mean, we know that, and I think it's important for other parents to, like, be open and not treat your child's identity as a secret. It's not a secret. It just is who my kid is, and there's no, like, you know, personally, there's, like, obviously no, we're very open and there's nothing on it, you know? And so it makes sense for us, for our family, that translates into my public life, you know?
I also think it's so helpful to speak about it because a lot of people don't. And so, like, how are parents out there supposed to know how to talk to their kids if they don't have the guidance from someone like you?
Well, I mean, also books and podcasts. People are way smarter than I am. That's how I learn everything, you know?
Yeah.
But you're talking about it on your podcast.
Yeah.
And my therapist.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's you need to be able to find it.
I do think people should be having, you know, all of these conversations and in lots of different ways, you know, like, you don't have to be, like, maybe you're a person that doesn't like books. Like, maybe you do like podcasts. Find a podcast about the thing that you're interested in learning more about. You know, we don't all have time. We can't all go back to school. You know, we don't have the time. We're busy people. So, like, get the information when and where you can. Just make sure that you're getting it from good sources. Like, I called the LGBTQ center in Los Angeles and, like, got a contact there because I just was like, as much as I know, I don't know everything, obviously. And, like, I need some resources and some help and some guidance. And, like, you know, you just have to be thoughtful and aware that, like, there's lots and lots of information out there in the world. And you want to make sure that you're getting it from valid sources.
For sure. Well, also, thanks for sharing that you did that, because I feel like a lot of people wouldn't think to do that, like, call the LGBTQ.
Yeah, it's great advice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, like, so many organizations, like, exist to support.
Yeah.
You know, to support the community.
I feel like people don't think to do that. They think, like, oh, I don't think anybody does that, actually, you know? So a lot of people feel, I think that a lot of people feel like they're on their own in a lot of situations, but in reality, a lot of people are going through very similar.
Well, the other thing is, and you guys should have this guy on your podcast. I had Dr. Harold Koplowitz from Child Mind Institute on my podcast. And Child Mind Institute, it's a mental health organization for kids that is free. Basically, his whole idea was how St. Jude's was established for cancer and to specialize in kids' cancer. And that's like all St. Jude's does. And it offers free care and resources and information. He was like, there's nothing like that for mental health services for children. And he's super fascinating. This past year and a half, you know, we've obviously seen a huge uptick in kids having different, you know, mental health issues and anxiety related disorders and things that are totally treatable and also very, 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 very normal. And parents do get like freaked out about seeking help when their kids are going through these things. And really, like, that to me is such a just such a huge disservice to kids, because if you can like get them help, it's so it like can turn around like that. And if you don't, it can put them on a trajectory of like spiraling. And so like much, you know, a lot of times I think parents get this thing where they like, I'll just wait until my kid comes to me. And I do think with some of these things, you have to be the one that's like, I have to put myself out there. I was lucky with Birdie. I have a kid who's very much like up in my face with everything. Right. But when our little one holds it in. And we really have to go to her and find like quiet times and say like, hey, bud, I noticed that you're really sad this week. Like, can we talk about what you're really sad about? Is something scaring you? Would you want to talk to someone else about it? You know, like, we have to constantly kind of pull her out, right, and check in with her. Mm-hmm. Not all your kids are going to be Birdie like, hey, dudes, I'm gay. They, them, like, support, you know, you can't. That's just, I know how lucky I am to have that, to have had that experience. But I also have another kid that like demands a little bit more care and me going to her and asking, like trying to pull stuff out a little bit. Right. But I just like, you know, what these kids have gone through and like what they're all going through is, I can't even truly wrap my brain around it. It's so hard.
And
coming out of it on the other side, like, you guys have littles. I imagine a lot of people who listen to your podcast have older kids too.
It's a mix. We get a mix of everybody. Yeah.
Because for the older kids, I think coming out of this is a whole new set of challenges in terms of like what they've all kind of missed academically, and but that they're still expected to be at, you know, meeting certain markers, but they've literally not been in school. That's a lot of tough. These kids, and it's so stressful on the schools and on the teachers, and so stressful on the parents. And socially, a lot of them are just so used to now having the internet and online communication that being in person is causing a lot of stuff too. So they're going to need a lot of support from all of us. Like, we all have to be like, okay, yeah, we got to jump in. How can we help? Like, how can we help facilitate this?
And there's so many levels of what like each age group has gone through. All, like, doesn't matter how old you are or what you went through. We all went through something, and we have to give that support to our kids, especially, and like know that this year was fucked up, and what they had to go through is, we can't understand that.
Yeah. No. And they've lost, like, Casey, my co-host on my podcast, her son didn't get a prom. He didn't get a graduation. He started freshman year of college remote.
Yeah.
He, like, you guys, he got a girlfriend remotely. Aww. I don't think they've ever met in person.
Was it Killian?
No. Killian's graduating from sixth grade in a few weeks. I'm so excited.
Oh, Killian. Well, Thank you so much, Busy. Thank you. We really appreciate
it.
Thank you.
And everyone, go check out Girls 5 Eva. Check out Busy Phillips is doing her best. And that is it for this episode of Betches Moms podcast. Thank you so much, Busy. We really appreciate your time and everything.
This was so much fun. Really loved having you.
I'm so glad. My best friend from high school is coming right now, so I'm so excited. I haven't seen her in years.
Tell
literally
her we say
years.
Hi.
Yeah, I will. I will.
All right. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Follow Betches Moms on Instagram. And follow us. I'm at Aileen. Follow Brittany at Britt Rich. Follow Busy Phillips. And remember, there are no rules in this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com. Betches.